Well, the reading this morning is from the book of Exodus, chapter 25, verses 31 to 40. Can be found on your church Bibles on page 66. Page 66, Exodus, chapter 25, verses 31 to 40. The golden lampstand. You shall make the lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be made of hammered work, its base, its stem, its cups, its calyxes, and its flowers shall be of one piece with it. And there shall be six branches going out of its sides, three branches of the lampstand out of one side of it, and three branches of the lampstand out of the other side of it. Three cups made like almond blossoms, each with calyx and flower on one branch, and three cups made like almond blossoms, each with calyx and flower on the other branch, so for the six branches going out of the lampstand. And on the lampstand itself there shall be four cups made like almond blossoms, with the calyxes and flowers, and a calyx of one piece with it, under each pair of the six branches going out from the lampstand. The calyxes and the branches shall be of one piece with it, the whole of it a single piece of hammered work of pure gold. You shall make seven lamps for it, and the lamps shall be set up so as to give light on the space in front of it. Its tongs and their trays shall be of pure gold. It shall be made with all these utensils out of a talent of pure gold. And see that you make them after the pattern for them, which is being shown you on the mountain. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please have your Bibles open at that passage, would you? Exodus chapter 25. God, our Father, we thank you for your word and all that we have been seeing through this Bible passage, the book of Exodus. And we pray that you will encourage us again today as we consider this part of your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, you may remember that God's people, freed from Egypt, travelling across the wilderness, and they come to Sinai. And God is giving them the instructions because they're about to go on a journey in tents. And God says, I want to be with you in my own tent. And my tent's going to be like this. And my tent is going to have these things within it. And God's tent we call the tabernacle. I wonder if you have ever experienced complete and utter darkness. My parents live in the country, in a tiny little village that has no street lights, and no kind of public buildings, no pubs or anything like that would have lights on. And one day a few years ago, I went out for a walk in the daylight, and it went dark while I was out, and I could barely find my way back. I walked straight into a car, a parked car, because I couldn't see it. It's that dark, you cannot see a hand in front of your face. And you open your eyes wide, trying to make out something, and you see absolutely nothing. It's a strange experience. And yet, that's what the Bible says we're doing. Walking in darkness. And we'll see in a moment why that's important. So we have this tent. So far in Exodus 25, God has given the instructions to build the Ark of the Covenant, which is the most wonderful symbol of God's goodness, as you may remember. We've had the instructions for building the table to put the showbread on inside the holy place. And now we have the instructions for building the lampstand. Now, I've got a little video here. I'm going to try and show it to you. If it doesn't work, Liz is going to bail me out. So, did I do that? Liz, can you bail me out? Now, this is going to be a trip through the tabernacle. Altar for burnt offerings. There it is. Altar for sacrifice. And you'll see behind that there are a few other things. And there have been all these animals sort of milling around in there that were going to be sacrificed. And the blood of the sacrifices was put on what they call the horns of the altar, the four corners. And then, we haven't got to this yet either, this is the laver, or it's like a wash basin, to wash before you go into the holy place. And there's a priest probably washing his hands before he goes into the holy place. So now we're going to go into the inner tent, which is the holy place. And in here, you see the lampstand on the left, the table on the right, and in the middle, the altar of incense, where incense was constantly burning before God. You need to have that picture in your mind. We'll come on to this picture later on. There's the candlestick we're going to be thinking about today. And there's the table we thought about last time with the showbread on it. You remember 12 loaves, one loaf for each of the 12 tribes. And the incense altar, where, as I said, incense was burned continually. So as you walk in there, there'd have been a massive kind of assault on your senses, the brightness coming from the lamp and the aroma of the incense. And then we go into the Holy of Holies, which wasn't really entered, but we're going in today. And here is the Ark of the Covenant. We thought about that a few weeks ago, with the cherubim on top and the golden poles to carry it. And the mercy seat. Inside, the tables of the Ten Commandments, a rod that belonged to Aaron that budded, and a pot of manna. Overview again. I think we could probably stop it there, Liz. Thank you. So you get the idea of what it was like, this tabernacle, when it was built. So let's think about this candlestick, or, candlestick, and the instructions that we have for us this morning. God gave very specific instructions that it should be made of gold, solid gold. And not only was it solid gold, but it was to be one piece. Imagine the skill in making that. You start with a big lump of gold and you end up with a candlestick with all these details on it. That's what they were to do. It was made from quite a lot of gold, about 34 kilograms. That's about 75 pounds, something like that, which is a huge amount of gold. And it was decorated in flowers and almond, buds, blossoms, and fruit. all together at the same time, which is quite interesting because you'd never see an almond tree with buds and blossoms and fruit all together. It was incredibly ornate, the most ornate thing we've seen so far. Both the Ark of the Covenant and the table were not particularly ornate, they were fairly plain. But this was beautifully ornate. And then on the top of each arm of the candlestick, there was an oil lamp. Now, we don't know, the instructions are not there, they're not clear enough to exactly get a picture of what this candlestick looked like. But you'll see that picture on the screen there. That is Titus's army. It's on the Titus Arch in Rome. And can you see what they're carrying? They're carrying what we would call a menorah, which is simply the Hebrew word for candlestick. And it's that those soldiers are coming from Jerusalem in AD 70, having destroyed Jerusalem, and they brought back all the treasures of the temple. So it's likely that that relief there on the Arch of Titus is as close as we get as a photograph of what the candlestick in the temple was like. Now, of course, that's a lot later than Moses, but it is likely that the candlestick in the temple was modelled on the candlestick in the tabernacle. So that's the most likely shape. If we go to the next picture, I think there's another picture. There you go. You'll see that one looks very similar. That's on a sarcophagus, the side of a sarcophagus. So it's quite a big, hefty thing. And if you imagine, without that, the holy place would be completely dark. It had three layers of covering over the top of it, two animal skins and another layer of specially woven cloth. And it would have been, if you went through those doors, through the gates into it, a very, very dark place without the light from the candlestick. Now, we're calling it a candlestick, but really it wasn't. It was a stand for oil lamps. And there's a picture of an oil lamp here, so you know what they look like. There you go. You may not recognize that as an oil lamp, but that's what they look like at this time. You'll see the oil goes in the main kind of area, and then at the pinched bit, there would have been a wick that could have been lit, and the oil could be topped up and kept topped up. They still sell very similar oil lamps all over the place if you go to the Middle East. But that one is quite likely what these oil lamps were like. Can we go on to the next picture, Liz? Thank you. And we'll just leave that there for now. That's the tabernacle, what it would have looked like from the outside. So imagine the amount of light this candlestick was giving to the holy place. It would have been an incredible experience to walk into it. And we've just seen something of that in that little video. Now, it's all very well to know all these practical things about the tabernacle and the things that were in it. But we know that everything within the tabernacle and the tabernacle itself were carefully planned and instructed to be made a particular way by God. And it wasn't just because it looked nice. There were reasons and purposes why God wanted things made the way they were. Sadly, a lot of those reasons are lost, and we can make them up as much as we like, but that's not the way to read the scriptures. We need to understand scripture with scripture, as I said last time. And we need to think about what we can learn from these particular items and today from this candlestick. Well, in the Bible, one great commentator tells us that fire and gold symbolize God. It's a symbol of God's light. Light that comes from God, filling a dark place. Remember, without that, it's completely dark. But with that, it's filled with light. Now, do you remember at the beginning of the service we said a prayer of confession? And do we use those words, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us? Those words come from the book of 1 John. And they are in the context of darkness and light. Just listen to what John says. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while walking in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Can you see how there are hints of what the tabernacle is saying in the way John forms his words there? The light, the darkness of the holy place is banished by the light, symbolizing the light of God, bringing light to the darkness of the world living without him. The second thing to say about this candlestick is that it is pretty much a model of a tree, isn't it? Because it's got the arms and it's got the buds and it's got the flowers. It's like a tree. Well, we read about trees quite a lot in the Bible. It was a tree that led to Adam and Eve's sin, wasn't it? They ate the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So, as you walk into the holy place, the first thing you see is a tree reminding you of your own sin. But then, the light of God banishing that sin. There's another tree at the other end of the Bible. You know, the Bible has got bookends, got trees at both ends. The tree of life in Revelation 22, which is a reminder of the hope to come. And almond blossom, apparently, is the first blossom you see in spring in Israel. So the choice of almond flowers and almond fruit on this candlestick was very significant, because almond was a sign of hope that the end of the winter darkness was over and the summer light was on its way. So as you walk into the holy place, you see light, a reminder of your sin and separation from God, because there's a curtain at the end separating the Ark of the Covenant from you. And you see this tree, and you're reminded, because it's got almond blossom on it, that there is hope in God. You look to the right-hand side, and you see the table with the bread on it. You see light and bread. And of course, that looks forward to the one who said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. It points forward to Jesus. So as you, it's a living, worked out parable of the state of mankind and the love of God as you walk into the tabernacle. Reminder of sin, that tree. A reminder of hope and the tree that's to come at the end, the tree that's bearing fruit, the hope that there is in God. A reminder of the light that God brings. A reminder of the bread, the provision that God brings. And then just ahead of you, the presence of God himself. It looks forward to what is yet to come. But it reminds the people of the covenant that they have with the living God, that they are his and that he cares for them. It's a wonderful picture, and I hope it's one that you're getting excited about as we look at it over these weeks. So let's bow our heads to pray. God, our Father, we thank you so much again for your word. We thank you for this Bible passage. Please help us to rejoice in you. And thank you for the Lord Jesus, who is the light of the world and the bread of life. Amen.